This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. UN investigators have condemned the actions of the military commander of Myanmar, also known as Burma, along with five other generals, for overseeing mass murder and rape of Muslim Rohingya last year with genocidal intent, and called for their prosecution. Christopher Sidati is one of those investigators.
We are not removing the presumption of innocence. We are not saying that they individually have been proven to have the necessary intent. But we are saying that given all of the circumstances, all of the inference, all of the facts that we have found, and we have found extensive range of facts, and the tightness of the chain of military command, they should be investigated and prosecuted.
They also took aim at de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi for failing to use her moral authority to protect civilians. Nicholas Farrelly is a regional analyst at Australia National University.
What we've seen over the past year is that there were great failings, including at the very highest level in the State Councillor's office, and this is going to have very significant consequences. Aung San Suu Kyi's personal reputation was, at least among serious analysts, already shredded by what had happened last year.
The investigators called on the Security Council to impose an arms embargo and criticized the social media network Facebook for allowing the spread of hate speech and inciting violence. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta was welcomed to the White House Monday by President Donald Trump.
Kenya and the United States have had strong, solid relationships ever since our independence. We are here to renew that partnership. We are here to strengthen it. We've had very good and excellent cooperation, especially in our fight against terrorism.
Both countries agreed to the construction of a superhighway linking Nairobi with the port of Mombasa. They have military forces battling jihadists in Somalia. Mr. Kenyatta, the second African leader to visit the White House this year. This is VOA News. President Donald Trump says the U.S. and Mexico have agreed to alter the 24-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA.
It wasn't from any standpoint something that most people thought was even doable when we started. If you look at it, you remember at the beginning, many people thought that this was something that just couldn't happen because of all of the different factions, all of the different sides, and the complexity. And we made it much simpler, much better for both countries.
The negotiations among the U.S., Mexico, and Canada have lasted more than a year. Canada is to rejoin the talks on Tuesday. Japan says North Korea continues to pose a dire threat to its security, despite recent diplomatic rapprochement between the Koreas and Washington. Yoichiro Sato is a security expert.
Despite the meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un and the agreement that came out of it in June, the Japanese government does not see any tangible progress in North Korea's denuclearization.
The Defense Ministry warned in its annual white paper the North's military activities pose the most serious and pressing threat the country faces. Iranian lawmakers, rather lawyers, Monday asked the International Court of Justice, or World Court, to order the U.S. to lift sanctions. Tehran insists they violate terms of a 1955 bilateral treaty. Mohsen Mohebi is a law advisor to Iran's president.
Mr. President, the case at hand is in fact very simple, because the United States is publicly propagating a policy intended to damage as severely as possible Iran's economy and Iranians' nationals and companies, and therefore inevitably Iranian nationals, of course.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the suit is intended to interfere with the sovereign rights of the U.S. to take lawful actions to protect its national security. The defense ministers of Iran and Syria signed an agreement on military cooperation and reconstruction following the seven-year civil war. The U.S. and Israel have demanded Iran leave Syria. Cambodia's government released 14 critics, all members or supporters of a now-dissolved opposition party. They were convicted of insurrection 4 years ago. Longtime Prime Minister Hun Sen's ruling party swept to victory in last month's widely criticized and virtually unopposed elections. Police in Ethiopia arrested the former head of the Eastern Somali region on rights abuse charges and fomenting ethnic unrest. Meanwhile, Uganda's top court granted bail to more than 30 people, including pop songwriter turned politician Robert Kyagulani, charged with treason over the alleged role of stoning the presidential motorcade. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.